Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Calvin this morning. Really good to see so many of you here. And also for those that are still live streaming, we welcome you. We have a special guest this morning, Brian Hoffman. But before I kind of introduce him just a little bit, we remember June Voss and the loss of her great-granddaughter this past week. So please keep her and the Whitman family in your prayers and your thoughts. The visitation is this afternoon at Holly Springs Bible Church. I think it's 2 to 4. I know Janet sent out some email information concerning that. And then the funeral is tomorrow at the same church at 10:30. So please remember June and that family in your prayers. With that, we do welcome Brian Hoffman. He's from Kanawha, Iowa. For those of you that may or may not have gone either bypassed or happened to spot it on the map somewhere, it could be missed. It's not a very big place. He came yesterday with his wife, Tess, and their two kids, and they're in the back there also. We gave them just the 5-cent tour of the ice cream capital of the world. And so he's a little bit familiar with Lamar's. But we welcome Brian. He's one of the two pastors that were invited to come to visit with us and for him to visit with us and us with him. There'll be Pete's cooking up some burgers and some pork chops for the potluck this afternoon. So hopefully you can stay, visit with Brian and his wife. And with that, I'm going to let him introduce himself maybe a little bit more. That's totally up to him. But Brian, we welcome you, and we look forward to worshiping with you this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As you've heard, my name is Brian Hoffman. I'm married. My wife, Tess, is in the back with our two kids, Lainey and Mia. As Mike already said, I'm from Kanawha, Iowa. That's in north central Iowa. Originally, I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm still settling into Iowa a little bit. We've been here 5 years, and we're still getting used to the lack of trees that from what we had in Wisconsin. But it's good. It's pretty, and it's a nice place to be. Try to think what you need to know about me at this point. Obviously, I'm a pastor. I love to bring God's word to God's people. I love to be with you for worship. One of my great joys in life is that my job gives me the opportunity to visit with people, that this is my work. I get to visit with others. I get to talk with them about Jesus Christ and how he's at work in our lives and in our world. And I think that's the greatest job in the world. And I'm so happy that I get, God has called me to do this week in and week out. Other than that, I don't know. It's hard to know what to tell you up front. I will be around afterwards for the potluck and everything. So come and find us. Come talk to myself, to Tess. Ask us the questions that you want to know. We're looking forward to get to rub shoulders with you and get to know you a little bit more during this day as well. So this morning, we have gathered here to worship because our God has done so many great things for us, and he has drawn us here and gathered us as his people. Let's join together in the call to worship. There's a responsive reading. It's in the bulletins, and look at that. It's even up on the screen as well. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. God has claimed us as his own. He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. People of God, receive God's greeting. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's join together in worshiping God. We'll sing Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing. You may be seated. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Trusting God's promise of grace, let's confess our sins together in prayer. God of grace, you have given us Jesus, the light of the world. But we sometimes choose darkness and cling to things that hide the brightness of your love. Immersed in ourselves, we have not fully risen to new life in and for you. Baptize us with your Spirit, that forgiven and renewed, we may preach your word to the nations and tell of your glory, shining in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our light forever. God of life, God of comfort, alone, afraid, in fear, in loss, we cry out, why, O Lord, why? How long, O Lord, how long? We cling to you in hope, even as we grasp for hope. So grasp us in your loving embrace through Jesus Christ, who endured the cross for our sake. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us so that he can make us his own children. Thanks be to God. And so, Jesus calls us to follow him. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Amen. We respond to God's call to follow him by singing together, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" I'd like to invite any of our kids that are interested to come forward and join me up here on the steps, and we're going to have a children's message. So I know I'm a new person, so I'll sit over here to the side so you don't have to get too close to me, but then we can talk a little bit. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. I would like to tell you a story this morning. You're 4 years old? That's great. That's fantastic. So I'd like to tell you a story this morning. This story happened a long time ago on the very first Easter. So it was nighttime. It was the end of the day on the very first Easter. And Jesus' friends were together, and they were hiding. They were in a room all by themselves. They had the lights off. They had the doors locked. They didn't want anybody to find them because they were afraid that somebody was going to come and find them and hurt them. And not only were they very, very afraid, but they were also very sad because they thought that they were never ever going to see Jesus again. They thought that Jesus was gone forever. And so that made them feel very sad. But then, suddenly, Jesus appeared. They were sitting around and Jesus was right there with them. And he said, "Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. I'm right here." How do you think that Jesus' friends felt when they saw him again? Happy? I think so. Yeah. They're very happy. Jesus came and he said, "You don't need to be afraid. I'm here with you." Jesus is so strong. He's so powerful. that nothing can ever keep him away from us. No matter how scared we are, no matter how sad we are, Jesus is always with us. Nothing can stop him from being right next to us. So that's my story for this morning. Thank you guys for coming forward. You can go back to your seats. So this morning, for our scripture passage, we're going to look at this story from the end of the first Easter and Jesus coming to his disciples in the midst of their fear. Our scripture passage comes from the book of John, chapter 20. Now, before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. God of light and life, open our eyes as well as our ears, so that we may not only hear your word preached today, but also see your word lived out in our lives and in your world, through Christ our Lord, the light of the world. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning is John 20, verses 19 through 23. This is one of my very favorite Bible passages, so I'm so excited to get to be able to share it with you. That'll be up on the screen if you want to follow along. And let's read together John 20, 19 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. As darkness falls on Easter Sunday, Jesus' disciples huddle together in fear. A couple days earlier, on Friday, Jesus' enemies pulled strings to have Jesus crucified. The disciples don't know what to do now. Their teacher, their master, has died. They followed Jesus for a few years. They heard him talk about how God the Father sent him into the world. They watched him carry out God's work, revealing God by teaching and gathering disciples to follow him, and by performing acts of healing and love. Jesus' disciples believed that he had come from God, that Jesus was the Savior, the King that they had been waiting for. But with Jesus' death, they don't know what to think. Jesus' mission seems incomplete. But if Jesus is dead, his work is over. The disciples worry that the people who put Jesus to death will soon come looking for them. Now, not all of Jesus' followers are wallowing in despair. Mary Magdalene has been to Jesus' tomb and found that it's empty. She insists that Jesus is alive, that he's appeared to her and declared that he is returning to God the Father in triumph. John and Peter, too, have been to the tomb. And John at least believes that Jesus is alive. But most of the disciples are still convinced that Jesus is dead. And hearing others talk about him being alive only fills them with more fear at this point. The people who put Jesus to death will surely try to silence the disciples if they start spreading the word that Jesus isn't dead. So Jesus' disciples lock the doors, and they gather in fear. It seems that everything Jesus has done is now over. But then, Jesus is there. He's standing right in the midst of the group. Nobody's really sure how he got there, but clearly the locked door couldn't stop him. Jesus looks around the room at his frightened followers, and with a gentle smile, he calms their fears. "Peace be with you," he says. The disciples stare at him in shock. He holds out his hands, which now bear the marks of his crucifixion. He points to his side, shows them the place where a soldier thrust a spear into him. This is clearly the same Jesus who the disciples have been following for years, whom some of them watched die. All the evidence of his death is right there for them to see. And yet, it's very obvious that Jesus is now alive. He has risen from the dead. He's not a ghost. His body is totally real. And this changes everything. Jesus' work isn't stuck, forever incomplete. Jesus hasn't failed. He has triumphed, even over death. All of God's people's deepest hopes and dreams are coming true. So Jesus doesn't just wish that his disciples might have peace. No, Jesus can give them peace. Jesus can save. He can forgive sins. He can heal. He can restore brokenness, overcome fears, give his people everything they need. Jesus can do anything he wants. The disciples see Jesus before him, and now they recognize that he is the Lord. He is the Son of God, who died and now lives forever. Seeing him fills them with joy. "Peace be with you." Jesus repeats the words that drive away his disciples' fears. Now that he's convinced them of the greatest news of his death and resurrection, he gives them a mission. "Just as the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Now the disciples can't do everything that Jesus has done. They don't come down from heaven like Jesus. Jesus' death and triumphant resurrection can't be repeated. Jesus himself declared while sacrificing himself on the cross that his saving work has been completed. But Jesus has chosen his disciples as witnesses of all the work that he's done, so they can spread the message of his victory to the whole world. And the disciples can continue Jesus' mission by doing some of the other things he's done as well. They too can proclaim the good news that God is gathering a people for himself, that God is giving life and salvation to all who believe in Jesus. The disciples can reveal who God is and that God is here through their words and their actions. The disciples can announce forgiveness of sins. They can care for the poor and hurting. The disciples can call others to join them in following Jesus. Now, when Jesus sends his disciples out to carry on his mission, it may seem like an impossible job. But while Jesus invites his people to share in God's work, he doesn't mean that God's work is only up to human beings. No, instead, Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When God first created humanity, he breathed life into us. And now Jesus breathes new, eternal, triumphant life into his people. The Holy Spirit remained on Jesus throughout his life and ministry. And now Jesus gives the Spirit to his followers so that he may empower them and continue to be present with them. The Spirit, Jesus has promised, will continue Jesus' work as Jesus returns to the Father. One of the ways the Spirit will do this is by working through Jesus' people. Jesus is alive. He has triumphed, bringing salvation and forgiveness. He sends his disciples out with his power and with his presence to spread his good news. Jesus sends us out as his witnesses to spread his good news through our words and actions too. Jesus' death and resurrection bring us salvation and new life. Jesus calls us to join his mission of announcing this good news to the world. But there's trouble for us. There's trouble because there's so many things that can prevent us from doing this well. First, I think we have this tendency to think that proclaiming the good news of Jesus is a job for only a small, select group of Christians, like missionaries, maybe pastors, some other special believers. But I think the best understanding of what Jesus says here is that he's sending out all of his followers with this mission. Our passage talks about the disciples, but based on the context, I think that's the whole group of Jesus' followers, not only the 12 apostles as leaders. All Christians have the Holy Spirit. So I think the safest conclusion is that Jesus is sending all of us out. Now, there are some other obstacles, too. We might not do a good job of spreading the good news of Jesus because we're afraid of offending others, or we're doubtful that we could explain things well. We're worried that others will think we're foolish or weird or self-righteous. It's easy to let our fear take over and convince us that we shouldn't try to witness to Jesus with what we do and say. Maybe we don't spread the good news of Jesus as well as we should because we don't spend time with people who aren't Christians already. Isolating ourselves as Christians keeps us from carrying out our mission too. Sometimes we can think that we don't need to focus on spreading the good news with our words and deeds. A lot of times our Christian lives can look kind of like this. Jenny loves Jesus. She trusts in him as her Savior with her whole heart. Every day she thanks God in prayer for forgiving her sins, sins she could never make up for on her own. Jenny attends worship at her church every week. She sings with energy. She does her best to pay attention to the sermon. Jenny wants to grow. She reads her Bible. She makes an effort to be friendly, considerate, respectful. And all these things that Jenny is doing are right and good, things she should do. But Jenny also tends to keep her faith to herself. She doesn't think about pointing to Jesus when she talks with others. She doesn't make much of an effort to reach out to others and show them Jesus' love. She rightly understands that salvation is God's work, that she can't save somebody. But Jenny shouldn't think that God doesn't want to use her as his witness. God wants to use Jenny in the things that she says, the things that she does. Brothers and sisters, God wants to use us as witnesses to him wherever he's placed us, right in our own community. Now let's be clear. Saving people, leading them to Christ, that's something only God can do. But God can and does want to use us as he does this work. We don't need to do a good job of spreading the good news in order to earn our salvation. Jesus has finished all the work necessary to save us through his death and resurrection. But we show that we love God when our words and actions point to him, when we express gratitude for all the great things he's done for us. We love others when our words and actions spread the love and the hope that we have in Jesus. We don't need to fear spreading the good news of Jesus, because Jesus has conquered sin and death. Jesus has done it all for us. There's nothing that can come between us and him. This is the good news that all people need. Now, not everyone will want to hear it. Not everyone will believe in Jesus. But Jesus brings life and hope to everyone he leads to believe in him. We should want everyone to share these blessings we have in Christ. In the face of our fears, Jesus gives us his peace because he has triumphed, and he is always with us. We don't need to have doubts about whether or not we can do this work either. Jesus' great power means he can easily use even imperfect people like us. We're not on our own. God's Spirit works through us. Jesus sends us out, it's true, but he's also inviting us to join him. When we go forth to serve Jesus, we often see how he has gone ahead of us, working in the hearts of the people we meet, preparing them to hear and see the good news in us. Carrying out the mission that Jesus sends us on can seem intimidating. But God prepares us. God places us in situations where he can use us. When we follow Christ in our community, he gives us his joy and peace. Rick Abma believes that God has called him to follow Jesus in his community in Alberta, Canada. Rick prays that God will lead him to people that he can share the love of God with. Rick thinks of his work each day at his coffee shop as another God-given opportunity to talk with his neighbors, to get to know them more. Outside of work, Rick shares his love of coffee and grilling with other people, having chances to share food and fellowship. Sometimes he sees God using these small, everyday interactions to open doors for prayer or conversations about faith. And sometimes, Rick says, he doesn't see those doors open. But because God is in control, Rick doesn't worry about the results. He leaves that up to God. God gives Rick the freedom to use his gifts and interests to bless others. God often works in their hearts through the things that Rick does. Sometimes, Rick says, God leads him to step outside his comfort zone. But when Rick does, he finds that God is right there with him, that following Christ fills him with the greatest joy. Rick says, God does real, transformative work when people experience God's love. And through that, God gives Rick new excitement about following Christ in his community. People of God, Jesus is alive. He has triumphed over death, He brings forgiveness and life and peace. He sends us out with his good news, inviting us to join his mission of gathering his people. Jesus prepares and empowers us to follow him with our words and actions right in our own communities. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Crucified and risen Lord, thank you for saving us, for bringing us healing, forgiveness, and new life through your death and resurrection. Thank you for choosing us as your own and empowering us with your Holy Spirit. Please help us to trust that you are always with us. Because of the peace and joy that you give us, make us bold to follow you in our community. Work through us to carry out your mission of spreading your good news with our words and actions. Thank you for sending us out, and thank you for going with us. Through your Spirit, amen. In response to God's word, let's take some time and proclaim together what it is we believe, using the words of "Our World Belongs to God," stanza 41. Now, those words are in the bulletin, and they're right here on the screen. So let's join in reading together. Joining the mission of God, the church is sent with the gospel of the kingdom to call everyone to know and follow Christ and to proclaim to all the assurance that in the name of Jesus there is forgiveness of sin and new life for all who repent and believe. The Spirit calls all members to embrace God's mission in their neighborhoods and in the world, to feed the hungry, bring water to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and free the prisoner. We repent of leaving this work to a few, for this mission is central to our being. We continue to worship together by singing "Come Holy Ghost," and let's rise as we sing. You may be seated. As God's people, we have the privilege of coming before God with our prayers and thanksgivings and bringing to Him really whatever is on our hearts. Let's join together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, you are so great and so awesome. We give you praise because you are always with us. You always keep your promises to us. You never let us down. Thank you for your great faithfulness, even in the face of our unfaithfulness and sin. Thank you for your mercy in offering us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your compassion in caring for our daily needs. Thank you for your great power, that nothing in heaven or on earth could ever keep us from you and your great love for us. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as we look at our world, it's so easy to see that things are not the way that they're supposed to be. We see pain in our own lives. We see sadness and despair, grief and guilt. We see pain in the lives of our community, in our neighbors. We see those who are struggling to make ends meet. We see those who are suffering through periods of loneliness. We see those who are stuck in cycles of addiction or abuse. We look around our world. We see nations in turmoil. We see division in our own country. We hear rumors of war and conflict elsewhere. Lord, how long must such wickedness go on? We pray that you would come to set things right. We pray that you would move us to live according to your will. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, you know our needs. We pray that you would meet our needs, the food and the drink that we need. We pray that you would provide. We pray that you would give us community, relationships with friends and family, that you would help us to know that you are with us. We pray for those who are going through especially difficult times, those battling sickness, those dealing with mental health struggles. We pray that you would help them to know your presence. We thank you for giving us opportunities to work and to use the gifts that you have given us. We pray that you would help us to follow you in our everyday lives. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. Lord, we confess that we are not perfect, and we are so grateful for your grace to us. We ask that you would help us to be people of grace, to forgive others, to bring reconciliation where there has been hurt, to repent where we have gone wrong and harmed others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we pray that you would protect our health, that you would protect our safety. And Lord, in the midst of our darkest times, we pray that you would make yourself clear to us. We think especially of June Voss and her family. We pray that you would make your comforting presence very clear. We pray that you would keep us from turning away from you, that you would help us to have faith and strength, that you would reassure us in our times of doubt and disbelief. Lord, we pray all these things to you, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, before we sing again, I just want to remind you that one of the ways we get to worship God is by the giving of our offering. So the offering basket is just out these doors in the fellowship room there. So if you've not already done so, you can worship God by leaving your offering there in support of the ministries of the church. Now let's join together in singing, Build Your Kingdom Here. People of God, our Lord has gathered us here. He has met us and spoken to us. Now he sends us forth to follow him once more. Our risen Lord declares, "All power belongs to me in heaven and on earth." Our risen Lord commands, "In my name, go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching in my name." And our risen Lord assures us, "I am with you always." We belong forever to our Lord Jesus. We depart to follow him. And as we go, we know that we go with his blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.